Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wow, I just got my bonus.
Yeah, you did. With JCPenney bonus bucks.
It's basically a holiday.
Close. It's Black Friday in July.
Now what can my bonus buy me?
Almost anything. Combine your JCPenney bonus bucks with 60% off JCPenney exclusive brands.
Hurry in Thursday through Sunday to shop Black Friday in July. Plus, earn while you shop. Spend $50, earn $10 in JCPenney bonus bucks. Earn today, spend today. JCPenney. Style and value for all. Conditions and exclusions apply. See store jcp.com/bonusbucks for details.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, the Oregon Live and Oregonian recruiting expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Hoo-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Good show today. I'm excited about this show. Javon Holland, I promised to be on the show twice, the Oregon four-star athlete. He's going to play safety in Eugene, but he grades out as a four-star wide receiver, a four-star safety, and a four-star cornerback. He's supposed to have been on the show twice. Once I had a family situation, we actually had to cancel the show, and then another time I told both him and Tyler Shuck in Twitter DMs at the same time, hey, whoever hits me up first gets to be on, and Tyler beat him by like seconds. And so Javon's like, yeah, man, I'm ready to go. Let's do this. And then I had to tell him, never mind again. So he really, truly is going to be on the show. And I think he's excited about it. He's been texting me today. I think he's fired up. 2019 West Salem athlete Anthony Gould also will be on the show. Anthony already holds an offer from Oregon State, and he's one of the fastest kids in the country. He and Braden Lindsay from Tigard are going to have an epic showdown at the Oregon High School Track and Field State Championships, and they're also obviously both big-time football prospects. But first, I want to get to Oregon high school basketball. I get asked about it all the time. I get emails about it. I get Twitter messages about it. I even get hit up on Facebook about it. Who at the Oregonian covers Oregon high school basketball recruiting? And the answer is me, sort of. And the reason for that is not because we're understaffed. It's because there aren't any prospects in the state of Oregon. I would love to cover Oregon high school basketball and blow it up the same way we blow up football. Top 10 rankings, top 15 rankings, top 20 rankings, top teams, everything. I love it. I love football. I dive in all the time. I actually kind of like basketball more. Throughout my childhood, I enjoyed basketball more. But there are no prospects.
Isn't the PIL really good? Isn't it a good league?
For Oregon, Kamaka Hepa's a big-time prospect. Four-star power forward. He signed with Texas. He's the nation's number 49 prospect. He's great.
He's originally from Alaska, right?
But he just got here.
Yeah.
He just got here. Marcus Sahonis is a year younger, a 2020 kid. He may end up being a Pac-12 kid. He's right on the bubble of being like a Pac-12 or Mountain West type. And other than that, there aren't any prospects in the state. And I would love to cover it. I grew up, for folks who don't know a little bit about my backstory, my brother passed away actually when I was in the second grade. And as part of a bonding thing for my dad and I, after that happened, he passed away in January. In March, my dad took me out of school for the Oregon High School basketball tournament. And it was kind of a cool, exciting thing that for like 2 days, 3 days, I got taken out of school to go, and I pretended I was sick the whole deal. I thought we were getting away with something like really deep dive thing. And we would go watch the tournament. And then that became our tradition every year. We would take 2 or 3 days off. Some years he could only take one day off. He was a teacher in Oregon City. And we would go watch the Oregon High School basketball tournament. And he would hide the roster from me. Really young, take the roster from me and say, I want you to find who the best prospect is in the first quarter. And my dad, who played college football, small college football, and he coached some basketball and big time sports fan. It's definitely where I get that from. Really early had me looking at, I don't want you to see who scored the most points. Who's the best rebounder? Who's the best passer? Who's the smartest basketball player? Who plays without the ball well? So I started really young in terms of looking for prospects. That was kind of my thing. So I love basketball and I love the state tournament, and it's not really worth going to anymore. I mean, I hate saying that. I hate saying that because it used to be every year I went to almost every first round game, and then I always went to the Final Four. Mike Dunleavy Jr., the Tarver brothers, Kevin Love, Kyle Singler, Terrence Jones, Terrence Ross, Marty Lunin, and then more recently Silas Melson and Peyton Pritchard. And it's just not there anymore. It's not worth going to. The teams aren't as good. There aren't as many prospects. And part of it is the AAU problem. You look at football, and one, football is a big deal now in Oregon. And also, there's off-season training. And there are multi-sport athletes who are great, and they focus on football now more than they used to. And then there's also now 7-on-7. And in the time that I've worked at the Oregonian, the 4 or 5 years I've worked at the Oregonian, I've covered recruiting for about 4 of those, maybe 3.5 of those. I've covered 7-on-7, and that has not really been an issue. I don't deal with a lot of emails saying, it's not fair that you're not covering my kid or my program or whatever. I don't have to deal with that. I tried. I thought, you know, I'll do my part. I'll dive in to AAU basketball and try to cover it. And I wrote a couple of stories about the best AAU team in Portland at the time. And immediately, I got slammed with emails about, you covered the wrong team, this is political, this is all fractured up, you're covering a team that only has a couple kids, our team has 3, and this team has 4, and this team has 2. So if you're going to cover prospects, you need to cover like 7 AAU teams from all different directions. It was in my Facebook, it was on my Twitter, it was all over the place. I got phone calls from people I didn't even know had my number. You're not being fair. You're not covering our AAU team. It's extremely political. And I think that's part of the problem in Portland. I think that's part of the reason Portland basketball isn't where it should be.
Well, isn't that a problem across the country with AAU teams, though? Isn't it just like a cesspool of really, really bad people who are trying to take advantage of these kids?
Not always. But Seattle, deeply, deeply entrenched in basketball. And they've got people there that are kind of the torchbearers for Jamal Crawford, gives back to that community big time. Brandon Roy coaches in that community. Now, obviously his circumstances are very, very unique. He's young, so he's still very relatable to the players, and he's an icon in that area, and he's able to reach out. Since he's been coaching in that area, they've never lost. You look at Oakland. Damian Lillard has a team in Oakland. They're the number one team in the nation for the 8th grade. It's doable on the West Coast, but you need that kind of torchbearer to say, this is my city. Let's make it special. And when you don't have that, the 7th and 8th graders from the area that should be on elite travel teams, that should be on nationally ranked travel teams and playing elite basketball, aren't. They're all over the map. The guy right now in Portland, the guy that's kind of in charge of the top AAU team, is Ndamukong Suh. And I like Ndamukong Suh. I've got no issue with that. He's a football player. And I don't blame Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard is giving back to Oakland. But I think part of the problem right now is that there is no torchbearer for fixing basketball in Portland. Say, we're going to turn it into Team Drexler. I mean, some notable name from Portland that says, I'm going to make this mine. We're going to make this special. It doesn't exist. And it didn't need to have to. It didn't used to need to be there. It didn't used to. But now it does. Portland has a hard time when they go to national tournaments. They had a national tournament, the EYBL, last year, and Portland got one team involved, which is fine. They only had one team really qualify and get that honor. And it had all the best talent. And I don't know if they won a game. They definitely didn't win a game the first week. Portland basketball is down. There is no one that is bringing that talent together at a young age. And because of that, it's a really fractured community. I just covered a 7-on-7 tournament for football, and Team Lillard and E-Force, arguably the two top teams in 7-on-7, had a very friendly scrimmage. Now, it was a competitive, and at times it was a little chippy, but nowhere near anything negative. I mean, it was a great opportunity for those kids to get some really good reps against good talent. and nobody said, you're not covering me enough, or you're not covering this enough, or you know, don't look at that team. That team isn't worth your time. That doesn't exist. It's about getting better as a community, and that community is dying in Portland, and I don't have a solution. I know that Portland needs a torchbearer. I know that they need a system and someone to say, come under this umbrella. We're all going to be on, all the top talent in Portland needs to be here. And it doesn't exist right now. And when the top guy in the area is a football guy, and I respect Ndamukong Suh, he is giving back. It's not his fault, but he's a football guy. He's not a basketball guy. Who's the basketball guy that can take Portland under its wing and say, let's fix this? Because right now, Oregon high school basketball, especially given that it has six classifications, the talent is so fractured up that the basketball is just not very quality.
Maybe Terrence Jones, who is slowly fading out of the NBA, decides to come back and give back.
That'd be great.
Maybe.
That'd be great. And you know, Jefferson has been good for a long time, and Jefferson's still good, but it's not consistent. We're not having consistency anywhere else. You know, West Lynn has a very good program, and they're a little bit transfer laden. Most of their talent outside of that core group with Peyton Pritchard's group that won four straight, since then they've kind of been transfer laden. I would love to see Portland basketball be worth, and Oregon basketball, Oregon high school basketball, be worth people's time going forward. Because right now it's not a very good product. And the state tournament jumping all over hasn't helped. The lack of elite superstar talent hasn't helped. It's just, it needs to get better. It needs to get better. One thing that doesn't need to get better is Javon Holland. That kid is dialed in, ready to do his interview, and he's ready to go. He's hitting on my phone. I'm ready. So we got to get him on. So he's going to be on next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on Teddy the Fan. I like when I can to get the Ducks and the Beaver commits on the show, and this kid has twice committed to doing the show, and I dropped the ball. So I appreciate, third time's a charm, Oregon four-star athlete signee is going to play safety in Eugene. Javon Holland joins the show. Javon, thank you for finally being on the show, man.
Hey, man, no problem. I'm glad I can be here.
Okay, so what are you most excited about as far as the next few months getting ready to get down to Eugene? There's got to be something, now that you're signed, sealed, delivered, there's got to be something you're really looking forward to.
Man, there's a lot of things I'm excited about. But I think the biggest thing I'm excited about is just getting there and being able to work. Really get in there and just take advantage of everything that Coach Feld and Coach Cristobal has set out for us. And, you know, really getting in the facilities and trying to build my body to become, you know, the best player I can be in that time I have. But I'm just really in there ready to work, man. I'm ready to go down there now. And I've been ready to go there and work. So that's the biggest thing.
I'm really glad you didn't say the girls and the parties, because that would have been not a good start.
No, it wouldn't have.
All right, man. So you committed really early, and there were a lot of, there were coaching changes. There was a lot of different things that went on. What was your experience like during that coaching switch? Did you consider any other options, or did you feel like you and Steve Stevens, who I know you're close with, were pretty solid to Oregon the whole way?
I'd say I was pretty solid the whole way, although I did consider UCLA. They had the coaching change and got Chip Kelly, and my dad and I were really fond of Coach Kelly when he was at Oregon. So I was considering UCLA, and then I had actually talked to Steve and to Thomas Graham and MJ Cunningham, and I just, you know, all in separate occasions. But I talked to Steve last, and I asked him. I was like, man, like, what do you think? Like, you know, I don't want to leave. I want to play with the guys there. You know, I love the team and everybody who's up there. And I talked to Coach Hayward, and Steve was like, listen, dude, like, it's the place for us, and this is where we're going to grow. And then he was like, you wouldn't have committed in May if you weren't already sure about it. And he was right, you know. And I talked to my dad also, and he said, like, you were committed to the school. And if anybody left, then you knew that you would have a spot, and you knew the guys there and the team, and that's, you know, that's basically what it was. And so I just, about a day or two after Coach Taggart had left, I just said to myself, I said, you know what, I'm committed to the Ducks. I'm committed to the university, not the coach. So there's no point in me leaving. They got the fan base there. They already know me, the people up there. You know, it feels like home. So why would I leave home? Why would I go anywhere else? That feels opposite. So I just knew right then and there that was a place for me. So there was no question that I would leave it.
In my mind, Coach Hayward was about as good a coaching recruiter as Oregon had this last recruiting cycle. He's a phenomenal recruiter and is going to be as long as he's in Eugene. What is his pitch? What is it about him that is so magnetic for high school kids? Because not only does he pull big-time recruits, but they also have a lot of belief in his coaching ability and his personality.
He's straightforward. He doesn't – because a lot of coaches, when they come and first meet you, they ask you – you know, what offers you have, and are you interested in the school? But Coach Hayward, he asked me, which actually surprised me, he said, I'm not going to offer you until I feel like, you know, you want the offer. You're not just chasing offers. And at first, I was actually. I was chasing just to get the offer because it was my brother's dream school, and I was ready to just get the offer. I was like, man, I'll just have the Oregon offer. I'll post it on Twitter, you know, get all the hype, and all the Oregon fans will follow me. But then when I actually started to talk to the man, and I understood that he knew my position. He knew the game at a depth that myself didn't know. And my dad, he's an ex-NFL pro. He's taught me a lot about the game. So for a coach to know a lot more than me didn't surprise me, but it just, you know, I was expecting it. But I was waiting for the right coach. And so Coach Hayward came to me. He was like, look, man, I'm going to offer you this scholarship. And he said, I don't want you to treat it like any other scholarship. This is a special scholarship because you wanted this. And I feel like you want this, and this is going to be the place where you end up. And so he talked to my parents, and he talked to me. And then after that, I came up there on a visit about 2 months later, and he just brought me in. He treated me like I was his own son, and that's how he treats me today, that after I signed, he didn't switch up on me. Like he didn't tell me one thing before I signed, and then after that, he treats me like I was a stranger. Like he treats me how I am now and how I was before in April, so... He's just a straightforward dude. He's a great guy, great man, better father. He's an awesome man.
We're talking to Oregon four-star safety signee Javon Holland. Javon, you were at one time kind of an underrated prospect, and I know Brandon Huffman deserves a tremendous amount of credit for pointing you out to people, and I want to give him a shout because he does a phenomenal job. But you really seemed to open some eyes at the opening where people said, man, that kid can play corner, that kid can play safety, he's a good receiver. How big is the circuit for recruits now as far as getting your name out there? How important is that for people who don't understand things like the opening, things like the Rivals camp, you know, those types of things? How big are those for you as far as getting your name out there and maybe potentially leading to offers down the road?
Those were huge. Those were huge. And for me, I played for a 7-on-7 team that traveled. So I got to go to the big time 7-on-7 tournaments that all the recruits were going to be at and all the scouters were going to be at. So I knew that in that time being there, I was going to get looked at. And I knew that I had to dominate and take advantage of that. And I encourage anybody who's an athlete who's listening to this to go and play 7-on-7 because it doesn't only help you physically, but it helps you mentally prepare how to take an interview and how to put yourself out there, because getting your name out there is the biggest thing. If people don't know about you or know where you are, then you'll never get an offer because it's very hard for them to figure out. They can't see every kid at every high school in the world. You know what I'm saying? So for somebody to go to a place where there's going to be a pool of talent, like the opening or the Rivals camps, those are places where you need to be if you don't have, in a sense, any hype. You know what I'm saying? And so for me to be at the 7-on-7 and Brandon Huffman, who did a phenomenal job, who was on me from the beginning, he saw the talent in me when no one else saw it. And so scout.com, before they linked with whoever they're with now,
24/7
all praise
sports,
to them
yep.
for my 24/7 scout.com, all praise to them and what they've done. Brandon Huffman, great guy. He's always looked out for me. Nothing bad about me. He said, I love the man. He's awesome. But that's the biggest thing. You have to get your name out there. You have to be willing. You have to swallow any fear you have, whatever you see on social media, like getting exposed or anything like that. You have to swallow that and have to go out there and have to perform. Because once you step on the field and you get in those drills, your body is just going to take over to muscle memory because you've done it so much. So just go out there and perform, and you'll get the results that you're looking for.
Now, I don't know if this is real or not. You got hit up by a fan today or recently. I think it was this morning. That said, he wanted a pair of your gloves, your signed gloves, if he could get retweets. What's that whole thing about? And is that an Oregon fan?
Yeah, he's an Oregon fan. It's a young gun that's from Florida. He plays receiver. He's a class of 21. He's got tremendous speed. I encourage anybody who wants to see his highlights, go to his Twitter page. I'll retweet it. But he's got tremendous speed, and I've seen him talk to me before. He DM'd me before, and I just thought, you know, why not? Like, you know, he's a fan, and I've never really done it before, and it's kind of, I'm kind of new to it. So I just say, you know, why not, you know, just, you know, play the game. And so.
So what's the deal? Yeah, how, you know, how many retweets does he need to get a signed pair of gloves?
So I didn't do anything crazy, like any, like 2,000 or anything like that.
That was
I
nice.
I just said 200 retweets.
That.
Yeah. I said 200 retweets because I want to, you know, I want to give him the gloves. And, like, you know, the goal to get the 200 retweets and to get to actually get that is going to be awesome. And, you know, that feeling like, man, I did it. And so I want to give him the gloves. He said 200. I said it's a deal. He's at, I think last time I checked, it was at 110. So anybody who's following him, I'm going to retweet it. Go ahead and, go, I already retweeted it. Go ahead and retweet that so he gets to the 200. But, yeah, he's a great kid. He's got a bright future.
For people listening who want to retweet that and check you out, what's your Twitter handle so they can jump on that for you?
My Twitter handle is at Holland Javon, HOLLANDJEVON. Yeah, definitely go check that out, guys.
All right. Hey, Javon, one last question. Who's the prospect in this class for Oregon, other than yourself, that you think's got a chance to be really special? Is there anybody that you've seen all these kids, or most of them? Is there anybody that jumps out to you that you think, man, that guy's going to be a star?
Yeah, Adrian Jackson, Justin Johnson, Panay Swell, Chris Rondonzo, Steve Stevens, Tyler Shrew, Vernon McKinley, Jamal Elliott, Travis Dye, Carson Battles, JJ. Who else? The whole list. Everybody's a play. I'm going to just say that. Everybody's a playmaker. If you think that somebody's not a playmaker, if you don't like their highlight tape, I guarantee you they're going to shock you when they get to Oregon. They're going to shock the Pac-12. The 2018 class linked with the 2017 class, and anybody that's at Oregon right now, we have the firepower to win the Pac-12 championship. I'm telling you right now, you're going to be surprised how we come out this year. Coach Feld has a game plan that I haven't seen yet in my life, so it's going to be scary.
Javon,
so if you think that Oregon is not going to be a contender, you're mistaken.
Javon, I was looking forward to this interview, man. I knew you would hit it out of the park. Thank you so much for doing the show. You killed it, man. Great interview.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Go Ducks.
Javon Holland, man. Throughout this year, you know, you get to know some kids, and some kids you get to know better than others. And Javon has been a leader of this class and a fantastic kid from the beginning. And I really like, Lynch, how excited he is to get to work. So often you will hear kids who are kind of ready to celebrate, or they want to hang out and celebrate the fact that they signed with a big time school, and they kind of think they've crossed the finish line. And hearing him talk about it, getting ready to be a part and to be a contributor next year or quickly, I really like hearing that from kids. That's the kind of mentality you want in the leaders of your recruiting class.
He was the most mature interview you've done of any of the Oregon or Oregon State commits in the last X amount of months, the most mature.
Yeah.
And like the way he thought about the recruiting process and the way he told us about his thought process back then was awesome. It was really kind of, it was more, people love like the peel behind the curtain kind of thing. I don't know anything about recruiting. Like I was a bad baseball player in high school. That's all I did. So like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
So to hear that and hear his perspective and what the coaches would say to him was really, really cool, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, he's a great kid, and I like his advice, too. And I'm all for multi-sport athletes. You look at the Super Bowl, most of those guys were multi-sport athletes in high school. But if you are not playing multiple sports, and even if you are, it's not the worst thing in the world to show up to those 7-on-7 events or the showcase events and line up against the best players in your state, in your region, in your area, because what you're doing is getting consistent reps against fellow all-league, all-state, D1 caliber players, and there's just not a lot of that in Oregon high school football. You don't get to line up, play in, play out, week in, week out, against elite competition. Javon's advice is great. If you don't have that opportunity, 7-on-7 and those types of camps present it for you. Just phenomenal. Just absolutely killed it. Anthony Gould, a 2019 West Salem athlete, one of the fastest kids in the country, got an offer from Oregon State. He's going to join us next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Here's Mike with SportsCenter.
Featuring Oregon Live and Oregonian recruiting expert Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
The class of 2018 is in the books. For me, That means it's time to turn the page to 2019 and 2020. One of my early favorite kids in the entire state of Oregon is Wes Salem, speedster. He's an athlete, receiver, running back, maybe defensive back, Anthony Gould. Anthony, thanks for being on the show, man.
Thank you.
You've got responsibilities in track right now and 7-on-7. How are you juggling all that? Obviously, you're competing for a track state title, maybe a couple state titles, and then you've got showcase events for 7-on-7 and Team Lillard.
It's been kind of tough, you know, going practice every day after school and then private lessons on Wednesdays and then football Saturdays and Sundays. It's been tough, but to get where I want to be, I know that I have to do it and not just go out there and compete with everyone else and just go out there and have fun.
Realistically, and I know you love football, I know you love the 7-on-7 stuff, I got to think with as talented as you are on the track, that's your primary focus? I mean, is that fair to say that right now you're a little more focused on track and field than you would be on football?
Oh, yeah. Coming to 7-on-7, it's fun, but I know at the end of the day, it's just for fun. Track, I got some big goals for track, you know, go 10-3, 10-2. Win state title in the 1 and 2. Haven't done that yet. So track is more of my focus right now, but 7-on-7, it's fun. I just like going out there and compete.
You're going to go up against Tigard star and Notre Dame signee Braden Lindsay. I know that's a huge rivalry in terms of track and field. What are your thoughts on him as a competitor and that matchup? Obviously raises the bar for you. You're from Texas. Oregon, not quite as good in track and field as Texas, but obviously Braden Lindsay is quite a challenge.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's a fast guy. I think, second in state last year, if I'm correct. He's a fast guy. It's going to make me push harder, especially if I want to get the win in the 1 and the 2. Haven't met him yet. Excited to talk to him, get to know him, because it'll be fun to race against him.
I know, again, we talked about track being your main sport. You went and competed in the E-Force Team Lillard scrimmage. I gave you MVP. Some of the top corners in the state, all league-level guys, kept coming up to me, and I'm able to kind of interact with guys in the huddle a little more than I am, obviously, in regular football. And they're like, man, that kid is fast. Do you still feel like you're building a reputation? It kind of seems like being from Salem, having moved from a different state, seems like people still aren't quite aware of what you bring to the table. You still feel like you're proving yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to prove myself until probably all my life. You know, especially moving here, it's out of nowhere, kind of just happened. You know, I knew that I wouldn't get the recognition straight from the jump. So, you know, working hard, you know, being able to compete, going out competing with the best guys, just doing what I do, get all the recognition that I feel like I deserve for right now, but still being able to work hard and play with everyone else that I know that I'll need to get my recognition at some time.
Now, are you traveling with Team Lillard? I know, you're playing with Team Lillard on 7-on-7. Are you going to travel to their tournaments? They got a Vegas one coming up here this weekend.
Yes, sir. I'm going to all of them.
What does that mean to you? I know you've got the offer from Oregon State, and we will definitely talk about that, but it feels like these are big opportunities potentially for you to showcase your talent. How geared up, how excited do you get? I know it's a trip to Vegas. At the same time, I imagine there's some serious business side to what you got to get done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all fun. I'm ready to go out there and compete. I'm ready to go out there and compete with all the guys on Team Lillard. I realize how big it is and how important I know kids who get offers just from going 7-on-7. So I know that I need to go out there and do my thing to get some more notice and looks.
You got the offer from Oregon State, so you're a Pac-12 prospect. Nobody can take that away from you, obviously. It's only building from there. What are your thoughts early on Oregon State? I know you've been able to visit campus. You've been able to get to know the coaching staff. What do you think about Oregon State so far?
I like it. Coach Fancy, great relationship with him. Talked to him all the time. Coach Smith and I really had a good conversation with him. It's cool seeing. It's going to be good seeing how Coach Smith turns a program around and how he builds it up.
Is that something you feel like the class of 2019 is watching maybe a little more closely than the 2018 group in terms of new coaching staff at Oregon State? It seems like there's some belief right now that Smith could be the guy to be the long-term answer that can turn this thing around. Is that the kind of sense you get from talking to the other 2019, 2020 kids, that kids are watching Oregon State here pretty closely the next, let's say, 12 months to 18 months?
Oh, yeah. I mean, last year, kind of a rough year. coach walking out midseason. So, you know, Coach Smith, great guy, Washington. Washington's been a winning program. So I think everyone's going to be able to see, and I think Coach Smith will be able to turn some heads and get some wins in Pac-12 this year.
All right, Anthony, man, safe travels to Vegas. Show out, and let's add to that offer sheet. I know you got it in you. You're going to do some big things here in the next few months.
Thank you.
The 2019 class does not have a ton of prospects, but if you're looking for a guy that could jump up and be that four-star guy, Anthony Gould is certainly one of them. Right now, already a three-star prospect. Like we mentioned, an offer from Oregon State. He might be the number three prospect in the state right now with a chance to climb. He's got a unique situation. He is an elite, elite track guy. And that goal of being number one in the 1 and the 200 in Oregon High School track and field is very realistic. So he's training for that. And then on the side right now, he's also trying to build his prospect stock because he moved from Texas and is not a real well-known kid in a state that's not a real well-known football state. So he's got a couple of different things that he's trying to juggle. I find it really interesting, Lynch, that he's in a situation right now where he's got to compete for state titles and also, by the way, make a name for himself on the football field. That's a lot for a 16, 17-year-old kid.
It's a lot, but it's also what will get you more looks because you're a multi-sport athlete and you've got experience in other ways. If he is winning state titles, then I think that will help him as well. And I know you even mentioned it earlier in the show. You kind of threw it in there a little bit that being a multi-sport athlete is important, but you also have to start focusing a bit. I'm all about being a multi-sport athlete in terms of if you're trying to make it big in college and professional sports. If you hear any of the big-time athletes in our world, really, I guess except for maybe soccer players because they focus from like 4 years old.
But they're soccer players. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, Portland.
They all say multi-sport. They all say I played everything. I had a well-rounded experience. I didn't burn out, right? That's one thing where, again, I'll reference myself as a crappy high school baseball player. I did summer and fall ball for like 2 straight years and I burned out of baseball and I love baseball. It's my favorite sport. So imagine doing that as an elite player and just doing it all the freaking time, the risk of burnout so much higher. So the fact that you're doing all that, although it might be a lot, I think is really beneficial for you as a future athlete.
And I don't think people realize, and aside from being a multi-sport athlete, what these 7-on-7 athletes go through. I think people think it's kind of like something you mess around in. These guys take multiple, I mean, Houston, Vegas, Sacramento, Los Angeles, and then they've got the opening regionals, and that's a showcase event where you work out and you try to get invited to the opening finals, which has a 7-on-7 tournament in it, as well as different coaching and things that goes on in the summer, and those are in North Carolina and Texas, and I mean, they're all over the country. These kids have an insane travel schedule to try to get exposure, and Javon Holland talked about it, Anthony Gould talked about it a little bit. These kids, I know for a lot of fans, they think, okay, it's the off season, it's over. For a lot of these kids, this is as busy as they get, especially if they're playing basketball or running track, because they've got that, and they're traveling all over the country right now trying to get exposure. It's a unique thing, and I wanted to bring it up because for me, also, I'm quite busy right now with various practices with Lillard and E-Force to get a look at the top 2019-2020 kids. And then also, when I can, I like to try to go to these tournaments all over the country. I try to stay, you know, West Coast, and my ventures have been as far up as Seattle. So I've kept things pretty much within driving distance. There's been a couple tournaments in Portland I've been able to go to. But it's a big and busy time for these prospects. They got a lot on their plate right now. Even though football's over, still a lot going on. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the Black Panther movie. I got a chance to see it. We also got to talk prospects. We will get to some more recruiting. But I got to talk to you about the Black Panther movie because I was blown away. No spoilers. Next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
From five stars to unknown prospects, we cover them all. From Oregon Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
I promise, no spoilers. None. I saw the Black Panther movie. I loved it. I love all the attention it's getting. Fantastic film. I love how strong and powerful and independent and just freaking awesome the women were in the movie. Wonder Woman is kind of like, in the Wonder Woman movie, she's kind of like, I don't know, she's naive and doesn't know what she's doing. And in this, it was just strong women characters kicking butt. I liked it. I liked it a lot. But I don't like that anytime anything is celebrated now in our culture, there has to be a backlash. And then there has to be the different little groups that say, well, I didn't like this. So some people are mad.
Yeah, all of a sudden, it's racist that they made this movie now.
Well,
for some people.
There are all other people who say they're mad that there isn't a gay character, an openly gay character in the film. And then, so then fine, okay, whatever, eye roll. I mean, come on, we can't check every box in every film. Otherwise, we're just constantly explaining, oh, and this is our character who happens to be, you know, a homosexual one. Yeah. I mean, we can't have that all the time. So then Peter Rabbit is like as innocent as it gets, right? Apparently, there's a scene in the film where Peter Rabbit throws blackberries or blueberries at a farmer who's allergic to them. So parents of kids who have allergies, it's some group that's like parents of kids with allergies, were outraged that kids with allergies were being mocked.
Pacwa.
In
parents
Peter
of
Rabbit.
Kids with allergies.
Pacwa.
Yeah.
Can't we just appreciate stuff? Can't we just enjoy stuff?
No, we can't.
Feels like anything that gets popular, we have to have a backlash to. And in sports, sports is can be so pure and wonderful. And then we have to have clowns like Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless and Lonzo, not, what's his name? I don't
LeVar.
Even know. LeVar. Is LeVar's the dad?
Yes.
LeVar Ball. All those people, by the way, blocked on my Twitter. Blocked. I can't see anything to do with them. If you tweet about them a couple times, I will block you or mute you. I have no interest in it. I have no interest. I don't want to hear your hot take, your negative take, your pessimistic take, your goofy take to get attention. Not interested in it. There is so much to be discussed in films and sports that's interesting. Genuinely interesting. I want to hear your take. Tweet at me. Who's your favorite Oregon or Oregon State prospect? And why do you like them? What stands out on film? I like that kind of stuff. That's real sports. I can talk real sports forever. I can go to E-Force camps. I can go to Team Lillard camps. I can go to the Oregon High School basketball tournament begrudgingly and talk real sports X's and O's for hours. And I love it. Why do we have to have nonsense?
You know what my hot take is right now?
Nonsense.
Rachel McAdams, still really attractive.
Rachel McAdams. Oh,
whoa.
Okay.
I
yes.
was going to say, excuse me?
Yeah.
You
okay.
Know, Mean Girls, Wedding Crashers.
Yeah. I got
Notebook.
It.
Yeah. She's there. There was a trailer.
Rachel McAdams is your girl?
No, but the trailer just came on with her new movie. And I was like,
who is your like celebrity crush?
Elizabeth Banks.
Elizabeth. Okay. Yeah.
That's always been, it's a weird one for a guy of my age. Cause she's like 40 and I'm 28.
Well,
but, she, ever since the bathtub scene at 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Okay.
It has been a wrap for my fandom. And if I had to pick a second, it would be Kaley Cuoco, a.k.a. Penny from The Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
But I started watching her in Eight Simple Rules when I was a teenager. If you remember that show with John Ritter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Those are my two.
My ultimate was always...
Not to completely blow your hot take out of the... Hot take out of the water.
Quick
but.
Transition. Selma Hayek, always a big fan.
That's an easy one. I can agree with that.
As a kid, it was like Tyra Banks and Nia Long. Nia Long from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with the short hair. Mm. Don't care. And then, So those were mine. We got off track.
Well, I got off track because I had a hot take about Rachel McAdams. But to your point, to your original point.
Ruined.
Sorry. No, I'll go back to it.
Okay.
Don't you worry about it.
Thank you.
There's
and we
transitions
also got to
that
talk
happen
about
all the time.
Attractive women.
Yeah, we can go all over the place.
On recruiting with Andrew Nimitz.
I think the problem, too, is that if you do make a movie that checks all those boxes that you were talking about, like everyone's included, then the people are out there going, so you just made this movie to include everybody, but it has no substance or story?
Right.
So that's what I was going to say. No one's ever going to be happy anymore. For whatever reason, the culture has decided to shift into everything as it has a... Everything is a problem. Everyone has a problem with everything. There's no more open conversations. There's no more respect for a differing opinion. There's none of that. It's just loud noises.
So for me, I get from Oregon State fans, you love Oregon because you said they had a top three recruiting class in the Pac-12. You hate Oregon State because we were ranked 12th in recruiting. It's like, those are just the numbers, folks. Like, I really, genuinely, I really like Wayne Tinkle. I like Coach Smith. I like a lot of the guys on Oregon State staff. I went and covered their early signing period one time, and they came in the office and they were like joking about it. Like, oh, the guy that hates Oregon State, you're that guy. And they just laugh about it. And they're like, obviously you don't, you know, we got to do a little bit better job in recruiting. And obviously a lot of that staff's gone because in part they couldn't, but I don't have a problem with Oregon State. In fact, I like Oregon State. It's fun. When Oregon State made the tournament a couple years ago, I was tickled pink. Yeah, I said it, tickled pink. I like Wayne Tinkle. I think he's a good man. I like their baseball program. I think they've done some phenomenal things. I have some issues with the way they're going about things currently on their roster, but I have no real issue with Oregon. I watched Oregon State win two World Series.
The Luke Heimlich thing is weird for Oregon State baseball, but
I don't have enough time to even get into it. It's so upsetting. Honestly, it's hard for me to not say I hope they lose every single game. This isn't a one-time thing. This wasn't a one-off type of deal. And then people say, well, he passed the lie detector test. He passed the lie detector test when he was asked if anyone else in his family other than the victim that they knew about had been molested. Not, did you, it's just disturbing and it sucks. And it's a wonderful baseball program. They're a wonderful story because they play in a state that rains constantly, that's a warm weather sport outdoors, and somehow they've built an elite caliber program. And that should be the story, but it's not, because they're so eager to chase wins and stay on top that they have somebody who pled guilty to being a child molester on the team. It's disgusting.
Not to tangent again off of this, but
that's not a hot take, by the way. That is just my strong opinion. I strongly believe he should not be celebrated at that university.
I do wonder what's going to happen with Major League Baseball. He went into the draft pool last year, was untouched for obvious reasons. I wonder after this year, which he'll have a whole season as long as he's healthy, pitching under his belt, Oregon State, top two team right now, one of the best teams in the country. He is a very, very, very talented pitcher. Does he get a chance in Major League Baseball, or does this completely end here and now?
I hope he doesn't get a chance in baseball. I know people say, well, one mistake. It wasn't one mistake. It happened multiple times over a very long period of time. And yes,
but people would argue that he did pay his punishment that was given to him.
Right. But when you do something like that, do you deserve to be put in the spotlight and honored as a celebrated part of a community? And when you're a star athlete, not only do you become somebody that kids admire and kids look up to, but you're also somebody kids approach for autographs or for pictures and things like that. And do you want to put somebody who's been found guilty of that in the spotlight to be around those kids? I don't feel comfortable with it. I know I have a hard time with it. Oregon State this season in baseball. Okay. I'm not going to be watching. And if you win the World Series, great, but I'm not going to be happy for you. Don't care. Let's move on. Oregon State baseball. This is the last time you will ever hear me talk about Oregon State baseball. Couldn't care less at this point. I just think it's disgusting. Back to recruiting. Mike Lynch got me on all kinds of tangents. That was supposed to be about hot takes, and we went down
hot women
and Luke Heimlich, and then it just became a hot take. God, that was not the point. Well, you know what? It was fun. Next week, more fun, but recruiting related. On Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Thanks for listening.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.